Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to say, some of y'all are aware of this, but we, on Sunday nights, we have our children's choirs in here with us, and the littlest choir right here, they go out after the music. But our goal is that these little ones and all of us really would learn these principles that we have been learning about these characters from Scripture. So I want to say to all of our choir members, they have been doing a fantastic job. They take notes of the message. And every time they take notes and they bring me the notes at the end, I give them a little prize. And now they keep upping the ante a little bit. I mean, they want bigger prizes, you know. But I've got some prizes tonight, so I want y'all to know it. But I also want to say this. I got extra prizes for any of our choir members that can fill in the blanks on numbers 1 through 14 that's in the little writing. Now, I'm not going to go over it because of I don't want to take the time, but if you can fill those blanks in, I've got some extra prizes for you, okay? Now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says this, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of this same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Then skip down to verse 17 through 19. "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." I want to talk about Abraham, and I want you to go forward here to find the book of James. And I want you to look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 23. James 2:23. "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" How would you like to be called the friend of God? Abraham was the friend of God. In the scripture, the Bible says that God talked to Moses, and it says that he talked to him as a friend. There was some kind of an intimacy in that communication that caused the Lord to talk to Moses in a way that the Bible says he talked to him like a friend talks to a friend. Well, Abraham is the only one where it is said of him, and it's in three places in the scripture, and one of them's right here in James we just read, that says that Abraham was the friend of God. I want us to learn a little bit about Abraham tonight. Number one, Abraham is a man known by his great faith. He was challenged to be obedient. It's interesting that a person who is obedient to Jesus, obedient to God, is described as someone with faith. Now, we're going to camp out in some of these passages in Genesis. So I want you to look back at Genesis chapter 12, and we'll be in chapter 12, chapter 13, and then chapter 22. But go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." He was challenged to be obedient. He was to leave his country. Think about leaving your country. God said, leave your country. Secondly, leave your father. And third, leave the good land. Because in chapter 13, Abraham and Lot split up. And if you remember in that passage, Abraham said to Lot, "Now you look at the land, and whichever one you want, you can take it, and I'll go the other way." Well, Lot looked down to the east, and he saw that it was a lush land, and it was the best land. It was well watered, and so Lot took that good land. So here's what God had said to Abram. "I want you to get out of your comfort zone where you're comfortable." And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, many times God's people are challenged to do things that are not comfortable. Now, what is it that God's called you to do? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what is it that God has called you to do, because we see this pattern in the Bible where God calls his children to do things, to get up and go somewhere or do something that they're not comfortable doing. And he said, leave your country. And by the way, he didn't know where he was going. Leave your country. Leave your father. Leave the good land. He had to leave the good land. Now here's a principle number two. Smaller tests lead to bigger tests. You see, because the largest test that would ever face him, and I cannot imagine what Abraham went through. Because we see in Genesis chapter 22, I want you to flip over there to Genesis 22 in your Bible, look at it. In verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am." By the way, one commentator, as I was thinking about this and reading, said this: isn't it a blessing that when God spoke to Abraham, he said, "Here I am"? That's part of the problem. God wants to give us an assignment, but we don't even answer him when he calls for us. But God spoke to Abraham, he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Can you imagine that test? You see, the smaller test, now we think that that was a pretty big test in Genesis 12 when God said, "Get out of this country, the land of Ur, and I want to take you to a country that you know not of." That's a pretty big test in a lot of our minds, but that was a test to prepare for a bigger assignment, for a bigger test. Smaller tests lead to bigger tests. And the largest test was giving his only son. Now, in James chapter 1, if you look at the book of James chapter 1, it makes it clear that God was not tempting, but God was testing. I just want to read that. James 1:13, it says this: "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So God was not tempting Abraham. God was testing him. So those smaller tests were leading to this larger test. But he said to Abraham, "I want you to sacrifice your son." I want you to think about the different facets of this test in Abraham's life. First of all, you think about this. He tested his will. If you look at number 4 on this green sheet, this tested his will. In verse 3 of Genesis 22, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. It took him 3 days. Do you think that Abraham was wrestling with God in his will? Think about that. And then how about in his intellect? The second thing, in his intellect. Not only, and by the way, a test that you have many times, it will involve your will. You know, I remember hearing the preacher say years ago that there's our will is a place where God, the Lord is always a perfect gentleman. He never forces himself upon us. And as his creation, he created us with a will. And will we turn our will to him? Abraham must have been wrestling with God in his will. God, I know you've led me to this new land, this promised land. You tell me that I'm going to be the beginning of a great nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in me and in my seed as it goes forth. And yet you're telling me now to take my son's life. Don't you know his will was wrestling with God in his intellect? How can this be? This doesn't make sense. Because you told me I was going to have a son, and it took so long. Sarah was barren, and now we have this son. He's our only hope. This does not make sense in my mind. And then, of course, in his heart. So it tested his will. It tested his intellect. It tested his heart, his emotion. Sometimes following the Lord, it's emotional to follow him and to do what he's called you to do, to sacrifice what he's called you to sacrifice. It gets down in our soul. It deals in our intellect. It deals in our heart. Are we willing to do what the Lord wants us to do? Now, in the book of Hebrews, I just want you to read this verse. I want you to see it in your scripture. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 19. I'll start with verse 18. It says, and this is how I believe Abraham resolved this dilemma. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, it doesn't tell us in Genesis that about that Abraham knew that God could raise him up. It tells us that in Hebrews. We don't get that from just reading the story in Genesis. But here's what Abraham did. Abraham heard what God called him to do, and Abraham said, this does not make sense. My will is turned against this, Lord. My mind, I don't understand it in my mind, and my heart is broken if this is what you've called me to do. But then he came to the conclusion that if I take my son's life, God can raise him from the dead. You're talking about faith. Now, up until this time in Genesis, we have no reference in the scripture to resurrection. Of course, we know Jesus has risen, and we know that the New Testament, the theme of the New Testament is Christ is alive, Christ is risen. What we rejoice in, most of what we sing about in the church is about the glorious resurrection of Christ. I mean, it's the theme. He is risen. But there was no talk of that in Genesis. And yet Abraham believed God. And Hebrews tells us, how did he get through that? Because he was convinced. He was convinced that if he sacrificed his son on that Mount Moriah, that God would raise him from the dead. You're talking about some faith. Number five, I want you to think about the length of the test. Because in our passage in Genesis 22, it says that he saddled up all the donkey and all of the supplies that he needed. He took some people with him as well, some servants and some some guys there. And then it says, then on the third day. Can you imagine? That must have been the longest 3 days anybody's ever lived. Boy, I tell you what, I'd have been going slow. I'd have been crying out to God, Lord, just change this. It's very interesting, and when you read in chapter 12, when God spoke to him, he said, here I am. And you read in chapter 22, when God gave him this assignment to go sacrifice Isaac, that he, in verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning. This man was a man of obedience to God. Now, he was convinced God gave him these assignments. And folks, let me tell you this. If you are convinced that God has given you assignment, you need to act. Part of our problem is we want to make sure we've got the right assignment. We want to make sure we know it's of the Lord. But I'm telling you this, Abraham is our example of someone who, when he knew something was from God, he did it. He followed through on it. But I think about the length of that 3-day journey, and all of a sudden he comes up to that place. You think about the length of the test, and then in verse 5, in chapter 22, you think about the loneliness of the test, because look at this. In verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. By the way, notice he said, we will come back. You ever caught that? But I think about the loneliness of it. There are times when God gives you an assignment, and yes, you have comrades. Yes, you have your Christian friends. Yes, I have Kelly, and you have your spouse, or you have a comrade in the work. But there are some tests, ladies and gentlemen, when you go it alone. Because God has called you to do something, and you have to wrestle with it. And Abraham said to those others, he said, you guys wait here. And he went. I think about the loneliness of that moment. And see, that's why all of us individually have to decide, are we going to give our life to Jesus? Yes, we have a great heritage. Some of us praying parents, praying grandparents, praying uncles, praying aunts, Sunday school teachers that have poured into you. I could tell you stories of people that I know cared about me, but you know what? When I was sitting there in that auditorium that night and I heard the gospel, it was like there was nobody else there but me. I know the place was packed, and I know he was preaching to others, but I had to wrestle in a lonely moment with me and God. Am I going to follow him? And so you think about that, the length of the test, the loneliness of the test. And then, this is amazing, the process is called worship. In verse 5, he says this, stay here, the lad and I will go yonder and worship. Sometimes we think worship, Michael, is just, you know, we just have a good time. Now listen, I love worshiping. There's nothing I love more than singing. Some of y'all, if you've ever sat around me, you know that. Sometimes my kids are going, Dad, you know, I may sing out too loud or whatever. I love to sing and I love to worship and I love when there's excitement in worship. But I want you to know worship is not always frills and just fun and just, you know, sometimes worship comes from sacrifice. And sometimes when God has called you to do something that is difficult, that may be the most worshipful thing you've ever done in your life as you follow through on what God Almighty has called you to do. He knew what he was about to do, and he said, we're going to go up there. Y'all stay right here. We're going up there. And then he said, we're going up there to worship. That gets me when I think about that. Now, all the way down. Well, let me read this in verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Boy, I'm so thankful for verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham." Boy, I'm glad he spoke quick. "Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." That may have been the greatest "here I am" he's ever said in his life. "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What is it that we're holding on to? That if we just were willing to have it with an open hand, say, "Lord, this is yours. You've placed it in my hand, but this is yours," that God would say, "Now it is clear to me that I have all of you." They say William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, visited Buckingham Palace. And they say that he wrote in the little book there. And they asked him, "General Booth, what's been the secret to your success with the Salvation Army?" And he said something like this, and I paraphrase, "Some men's ambition has been fame, some men's ambition has been wealth." He said, "But from the moment that I got the poor of London on my heart," and then he said this, "God has had all of me." What a testimony. What a testimony that someone could say, "God, you have all of me." And I pray that every day of our life, we get up and the first thing out of our mouth, the first prayer of our lips would be, "Lord, you have me today. Use these hands today. Use these eyes today. Use this tongue today as I speak. Use these feet. Take me where you want me to go." But Abraham, God said to him, he said, "Now, I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." You know the phrase, Jehovah Jireh. We used to sing a little song that had kind of a Jewish flair to it in the music. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I'm not going to sing it for you, but anyway. But anyway, that was the song. Well, do you know the phrase Jehovah Jireh comes from this right here? God will provide. Number 6, Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Now, number 7, and we close with this. God spared Abram's son, but not his own son. God spared Abraham's son, but not his own son. I think that if you want to write on that big, heavy line at the bottom, one thing that I think Abraham would say to us would be this phrase, God will provide. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.